Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Hey, it's Ray and Brad, and thanks for joining us here for another encore show on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production being powered by Schipul.com. That's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. A great web platform. Check it out, S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. We've got an encore show for you today. It's from 2009. The gentleman is Nick Morgan, and he wrote a book back then, actually in 08, called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. And who wouldn't want that, right? Great interview. Let's listen to it.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Squeeze this, Mr. Whipple. On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. We're about to bring on to our cozy couch here is what we have in the studio, kind of. It's Nick Morgan out of Boston, and the book is called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. Nick, it is great to have you here. Thanks for being on The Advertising Show.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, honored to have you, Nick. As Ray had mentioned during the previous segment, reading your bio, you've released several other books, several bestsellers. So what prompted you to write a book about trust, authenticity, and charisma?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think Trust Me really talks about how authenticity has become the catchword of the age. That's what everybody's looking for. We're so fed up with the hype, with the failures of leaders, with the corruption in the business world and the political world, that we're all looking for authenticity. So I wanted to understand better what was that, and how do you achieve it? How do you project it? How as a leader, how do you bring it across? And then the other was, there have been so many recent developments in neurological research that explain a lot about how communications actually works that I thought it was time to write a book about that. So I cover that in the book as well.
So who should be reading this book, Nick? Who's your target audience?
It's really business people who have to give presentations, who have to lead people in meetings, people who want to show up well in one-on-one conversations, who want to show up well in business meetings, and then people who want to be able to do that keynote speech. But it really is about all kinds of communication, one-to-one, one-to-many.
Yeah, you mentioned in your book the concept of first and second conversations. Talk a little bit about the difference between the two.
Well, I think that's really at the core of what I'm talking about. So what I say is every communication is two conversations. It's the content on the one hand and the nonverbal or the body language conversation on the other hand. And let's say you're getting ready to give a speech. You're going to spend most of your time pulling those PowerPoint slides together and worrying about what you're going to say. Most people don't give much thought to that second conversation, to the body language. And yet, all the research shows that body language controls, for the most part, how we're received and the kind of image that we project, the kind of relationship we establish with that audience. And so I wanted to bring that to the level of consciousness, to make people aware of it and to let them know how to deal with that, how to handle it, how to get better control over it, so that you can think about that second conversation just as much as you do the first.
So content versus nonverbal, is one more important than the other?
Well, we've all had this experience of sitting in a meeting and this strange person gets up to speak, and something about the way he's standing, let's say he's really hunched over, or he doesn't make eye contact, or he's really fidgety and nervous, or he's got a strange voice, any one of a number of things like that will completely put us off. We won't hear what he's saying. So, yeah, the nonverbal is a lot more important than the verbal. But in this sense, in that if you get the nonverbal communication right, then people can hear your message. That's why it's so important. But when the nonverbal is at variance, is at loggerheads with the content, then people believe the nonverbal every time. You can stand up as much as you like and say, I'm really glad to be here today, but if your body language says you're really not glad to be there, that's right. What people believe.
Sounds like an episode of The Office, basically, I think.
Exactly. That's a great example, in fact, of one kind of content. The content is there in a kind of a weird, garbled way, but the folks there have all the business speak, but their body language is saying, help, I'm completely alienated. I'm out of here.
I'm clueless.
Not working.
Yeah.
You know, I guess any of us that have sat in a speaking engagement and heard a speaker deliver great content, but yet do it in a poorly executed way, I think we would all, you know, agree that, my goodness, I really had to strain to figure out what that person was talking about because their nonverbal skills were poor or whatever. So it would seem to me, Nick, that anyone that's experienced this from the recipient standpoint would get that. Why do you think so many people don't understand the importance of nonverbal?
Well, I think it goes back to that old study that was done of CEOs and asked them what they feared most, and public speaking was top of the list. Death was seventh. So Jerry Seinfeld made a joke out of that. He said that means you'd rather be in the coffin than deliver the eulogy at the funeral. And people, what happens is people get really nervous before they speak, and so they avoid rehearsing. They avoid thinking about it. They put it off. These are things that just don't come up in people's minds. So they decide, I'm going to go out and wing it. I'm going to just make the best of it. And somehow that's easier than facing up to it and actually rehearsing beforehand and worrying about your body language.
Right.
And also, I think people don't have the vocabulary. They don't know how to talk about it or how to vocalize what is, after all, unconscious behavior.
So there's a way that you recommend practicing this particular component of communication?
Yeah, there is. We're all unconscious experts at body language, at reading each other's body language. We're brilliant at it. We've evolved at this from the cave where our lives depended on it. And so what I say is it's a sort of a paradox. You have to think about it consciously, but if you think about it, if you get too programmed in a conscious way, then that's going to delay your body language, your gestures. And therefore, it's going to look fake, because what the neurological research shows us is actually you gesture first before you speak. That part of your brain fires first. And what happens is we get an intent in our heads or an emotion, and then we gesture, and only after that do we get a conscious thought about it. And so you have to keep that order intact in order to look like a natural human being, like somebody who's comfortable and authentic.
The name of the book is called Trust Me. The author is Nick Morgan out of Boston. Four steps to authenticity and charisma here at the Advertising Show. Ray Shulman and Brad Forsythe. Hope you're enjoying the interview. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, and our very special guest out of Boston this weekend is author Nick Morgan. Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. And it brings to mind a picture, Nick, of our presidential campaign that we had a little while back, how Mr. McCain and Mr. Obama had totally polarized presentations. Very comfortable speech, very comfortable body language, very uncomfortable speech, very uncomfortable body language. I wonder if that's part of the reason that it cost him the election.
Oh, I think there's no question that it is. The connection between a speaker and an audience begins before the speaker opens his mouth, because that nonverbal communication starts instantly as soon as the person walks into the room. So as soon as Barack Obama started bounding up on that stage with that confident posture and the big smile, really telegenic, that he was radiating confidence, that audience and leadership, all kinds of good emotions, and the audience was responding back with that kind of enthusiasm. And there's a real unfair element here for John McCain because, of course, as we all know, he was severely injured as a prisoner of war. It's just harder for him to move. Mm-hmm. And those injuries actually made him move more slowly, and he's an older man. And as a result, he couldn't radiate that same kind of enthusiasm and energy and finally leadership quality at an unconscious level that Barack Obama could. So it was not, in any sense, a fair matchup. And I think that hobbled him from the start in many ways.
Similar to the Kennedy and Nixon debates and such as well.
That's right. And you may well know that the people who listened to Nixon, the Nixon-Kennedy debate on the radio, voted Nixon as the winner.
Wow.
Because they didn't see the body language, the confident Kennedy body language versus the slightly nervous, sweaty Nixonian body language.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Going back to the book, Nick, and yeah, by the way, the Nixon-Kennedy debates, first televised presidential debate. Going back to your book, you say a range of appropriate emotions is an important part of charisma and is also a large part of what we think of as authenticity today. Explain what you mean by that, Nick.
Well, think about the typical business person standing up giving a speech and why those speeches are so boring. We're trained in the business world to be unemotional and not to show much much excitement, much passion. There's a whole history of reasons for that, but the net effect is that people are somewhat robotic as speakers. The rare exceptions are the ones that we think of as the great charismatic leaders. What's interesting for us is emotion, because as humans, again, we're unconsciously trained to be very good at reading that and picking that up, and so that's what tells us what that other person is like, and that's how we evaluate that other person. What are they like when they get angry? What are they like when they're laughing? What are they when they're happy? What kind of range of emotions do they show us? So that's what captures our interest as humans, and that's innate. We can't fight that. And so business people who deliberately tamp down their emotions in order to appear confident, perhaps, or in control, or like an executive, or some idea they have of the way a leader should be, actually shoot themselves in the foot.
Hmm. Well, before we get into your four-step process, Nick, discuss with our audience your method for controlling body language, starting with intent.
Well, the idea is that it's a very bad way to proceed. The traditional method of coaching, which is to get very self-conscious about, say, what do you do with your hands? The problem with that is that as soon as you start to think about it consciously, then that slows it down. And remember I said that the right order is to get an intent, to get an emotion, and then a gesture, and then a conscious thought, and then a word after that. And so you can practice this at home by watching people converse. And for example, if two people are talking to each other and they're saying talking about an airplane ride they just had, if whenever they say the word airplane, you'll notice the gesture happens. The gesture for airplane happens a split second before they say the actual word. And so that's the way you have to work it. You have to think in terms of what's my emotional relationship, what's my intent toward this material that I'm speaking about, or this meeting that I'm going to have. And you've got to focus on that emotion so that when you go out to speak or when you go into your meeting, you're radiating that emotion consistently with the words that you're saying, rather than focusing on being nervous or all the ways in which it could go wrong or something else that's on your mind. And it's about being really focused and present there about the underlying emotion. And then what we find is as you practice doing that, then your gestures follow naturally and you look more charismatic and authentic.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillin's Brad Forsyth. Our special guest out of Boston is author Nick Morgan. Trust me, four steps to authenticity and charisma. We've got more coming your way here in just a moment. Glad you're with us.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind.
what you're hoping to find.
The book is called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma, and our author out of Boston this weekend is Nick Morgan. Nick, welcome back to the Advertising Show. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, let's talk a little bit about openness for a moment. You're quoted as saying a communicator who is transparent about their intent almost always gets more respect and tolerance from listeners than someone who isn't. This seems obvious to me, Nick. Transparency and intent being something that people would strive for, yet I guess some people don't get that. Are there ever times when it's not okay to be open?
Well, sure. There, if you're a leader of a Fortune 500 company, there are going to be times when there's simply things you can't say to a group of employees, perhaps, or to an investor audience, because there are legal reasons or fiduciary reasons why you can't say certain things. So that puts you in a real pickle because people are very good at sussing out whether or not you're being completely honest with them, completely transparent. Again, it's something we're unconscious experts at reading. So if you're going into a meeting like that with the intent to deceive, then you'd better be very clear about the reason for it. You better spend a lot of time thinking about how important it is for you to follow the law here or do the right thing and focus on that rather than focusing on, gee, I hope they don't catch me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you also describe, which again, Ray and I both really enjoyed your book. I encourage all of our listeners to go check it out, and Amazon.com, I guess, would be a great place to start. You describe several of the physical characteristics of openness, staying with that topic for a moment. You mentioned open eyes, dilated pupils, raised eyebrows, nodding, smiling, et cetera. And I immediately thought about how supposedly our fine folks at the airport, the TSA, are screening people through body language and so forth. Is this something that can actually be taught, and is it effective in being able to identify those that may be a threat?
Well, that's a fascinating question and deserves a long, complicated answer. But the short version is that with training, you can get a little bit better than a 50-50 chance, but not much. And the reason is that this kind of unconscious expertise that we have is very effective in reading changes in people that we know well. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, when you come home after a long day and your spouse says, "What's going on?" right away, the first words out of his or her mouth, "What happened?" Mm-hmm. Right? Because something in the way you're carrying yourself instantly clues in that other person who's known you for a long time that something has happened to you that day, something significant. That kind of thing we're very good at. What we're not good at is looking at the random twitches or facial expressions of strangers and knowing whether or not that is indicative of the fact that they have heartburn or the fact that they're trying to blow up an airplane.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems like an unknown science at this point, yeah.
I mean, there are some ways, there are things you can look for, but the problem is what you get then basically is you can be trained to recognize people who have a lot of suppressed emotion. But that could also be your mother who's late for the plane.
True.
Yeah, and I know Ray mentioned that when his wife asks him what has he been doing, he immediately goes out to his car and lifts his hood to check on that monitoring device, the GPS that his wife occasionally plants there to monitor his whereabouts.
Right.
But, you know, it's a great relationship after this many years, right, Ray?
It continues to be, and it's because of that. And the ankle bracelet, too, and I'm very proud of that. It's you know, she gave it to us, to me, for our 10th anniversary, so what the heck. Change the battery every year, it's just perfect. By the way, Brad, we are out of time here. I hate to say that. And all I can say to our listeners is, go get the book. What are you waiting for? Go, well, wait until the show is done here, okay? Thank you very much. Nick Morgan, author of Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. Nick, it's been a pleasure having you here on the Advertising Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.
And there you have another encore show here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth and our very special guest back from 2009, Nick Morgan. Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production, and we will talk to you again soon.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.